All right, well, happy Resurrection Sunday. You know, this is my favorite holiday of the year because it's the day we celebrate Jesus' resurrection from the dead. I mean, that's it. I mean, we discussed all the other religions over the past couple of weeks. We didn't discuss all the religions. We discussed, though, that they still lack an answer to sin. They don't have the answer. They're still having to offer blood. Every major religion is still having to offer new blood. Every one of them was founded by someone who died and is still dead. All of them did. But we recognize today that our Lord gave His life that we might enjoy God's life. We're different than anyone else. Jesus is alive. He is absolutely alive. It's the resurrection from the dead that gives us hope. You know, it's very important. See, I believe in the resurrection. Not just His resurrection, our resurrection. If Jesus had not raised from the dead, there would be no hope of our being raised from the dead. The Bible calls Him the first fruits from the dead. See, He had to raise so we could raise. Listen to this. This is what Chris was referring to a few minutes ago. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to start in verse 13 and I'm going to skip around a little bit, but it says this, the Apostle Paul said, if there be no resurrection from the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain and your faith is in vain. Then down in verse 17 he says, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain and ye are yet in your sins. Down in verse 19, he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If the only reason, if we're just Christians until we die and then nothing else, that's miserable. But he said in verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Man, those are exciting words to me. His resurrection is the cornerstone of everything we believe. If Jesus didn't raise from the dead, I mean, we would be dead in our sins. We would have no hope. This would just be religion. But He did. He was raised from the dead. The symbol of the Christian faith is not a cross. It's an empty tomb. It's the empty tomb that says who we are. Yes, Jesus did die on the cross, and a lot of people, you know, wear the little crosses, and that's cool. I'm glad they do that. But I want you to know that it is the empty tomb that's the essential of our faith. Think about this. If you read the New Testament, and I'm talking about after the Gospels, talking about the book of Acts through the book of Revelation, the words cross, crucify, crucifixion, crucified, and think of Jesus' death in the flesh, those are all combined, mentioned a total of 23 times. But the words resurrection, raised from the dead, risen from the dead, raised and rose from the dead are mentioned 88 times. The theme of the New Testament is resurrection. Yes, yes, Jesus agonized on a cross. Yes, He did die for our sins. But He was raised from the dead. And today, believers all over the world celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. I think that's awesome. I read an article yesterday on one of the major news feeds. It talked about the People's Republic of China. This was interesting to me. The statistics state that there are some 58 million Protestant Christians in China. They are celebrating the resurrection today. I guess they started 12 hours before we did. By the year of 2025, there will be 160 million Protestant Christians in the People's Republic of China. We only have 159 million in the United States. And our number is declining. Theirs is increasing. By the year 2030, according to the studies, there will be 170 million Christians in the nation of the Republic, People's Republic of China. It will make it the largest Christian nation in the world. And it's against the law. What does that tell you? I'll tell you, governments will rise and they will fall. Rulers will stand and they will sit. People will cry and complain. But they cannot stamp out the reality of the fact that Jesus is alive. There may be hard times. We may go through some things where the government tries to stamp it out. It can't be done. The last 2,000 years, they've tried over and over and over again to make it illegal to preach Jesus, to love Jesus, to meet together like we're meeting today. But they just can't do it. It's like every time they stomp on it, little sparks fly out everywhere and new little fires go everywhere. They can't do it. They try and they try. I'll tell you, because He really is alive, it can't be stopped. Our relationship with Him is not based on history. It's based on relationship. I read another study a while back that on the Chinese internet search engines, there are many, 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 many more searches for Jesus and Christian than there are for the Communist Party and for Xi Jinping, which is the nation's president. It's like people are interested in Jesus. They don't care about Xi Jinping. They want Him. Because we understand He is alive. You see, we believe that He's alive. So over the past several weeks, we've been looking at the foundations of our faith. We've seen that the foundation is Jesus. And if we try to build on that foundation anything that's not the right thing to build, we found out that the fire comes to everybody and it tries our faith. And the fire is going to come, and if our foundation, if we haven't built on that foundation the right things, they'll be consumed. I don't know how many times you've had to start over, but I've had to start over a few times. Because even though I love Him, I've built the wrong things. The fire comes. Tammy's looked at me before and said, "What do we believe?" Because that's the bottom line here. Jesus is the foundation. We build on that foundation. We want to build, according to Scripture, with gold, silver, and precious stones, as opposed to wood, hay, and stubble. Those things will be consumed. We've talked about that at length. We've seen over the weeks that the blood of Jesus is precious. We've seen that the blood of Jesus ratifies a covenant that we have with God. And we've taught that, so I can't reteach all of it. But we found out that because it's this covenant with God and that Jesus hung on the cross alone, as God stood between the blood of the animals with Abraham, He hung between the thieves. He was there. He hung alone. He made a covenant by Himself that cannot be broken. His blood was shed for us. We read the Scripture in 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." He is that. When we talk about the foundation of Jesus Christ, the resurrection is vital. We must understand the resurrection. The resurrection is not just an event. The resurrection is a person. Jesus told Martha in John chapter 11, it says, He said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die." He is the resurrection. Man, that's good news today. I don't have to work for it. I just got to know Him. He's the resurrection. So He is the resurrection. He's the life. He is alive. So this morning, we want to know, we're going to look at the fact that it's God's will for each one of us to live our lives in the power of His resurrection. Many Christians, of course, are saved. To be a Christian, you've got to be saved. But they live powerless Christian lives. I understand we've talked about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to add something here this morning, not to the Word, but I'm going to add something to our faith. It's not enough just to have been saved. Christians are among the most frustrated people on the planet. Aren't they? I mean, they can't do the things they used to do, and some of it makes them mad. And then they try to do them, and they don't feel as good as they used to feel because they're convicted the whole time they're doing it. And then they get involved. Come on in, Ray. They get involved in religion. Instead of a relationship with Jesus, they get involved in religion. And then that's just the rules and following the rules. And if you don't follow the rules, people talk bad about you or look at you badly. And it becomes religion. All right, if we don't have the right windows, if we don't have the right, have the cross in the background or whatever it may be, it just becomes about the rules and it's no longer any fun. And everything is like, well, we're not doing that, and we're just yelling at people all the time rather than having relationship with Him. They don't live in the power of His resurrection. Paul said in Philippians 3:10, he's talking about, he said, I've given up everything. I've given up everything to follow Jesus. Everything. Is he said it's like refuse to me. Nothing. And he's talking about his education. He's talking about his fame and his fortune. He said, I gave it all up. And then he says, why did I do that? That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. In other words, it's not enough just to know Him. There's a life that can be lived in the power of His resurrection. That's what we're supposed to know. That's why we celebrate this resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead so we can go to heaven and live with Him forever. But there's a power in the resurrection that we're supposed to be living in right now. There's a supernatural power. We have access to this powerful life. We have access, like Paul was describing. Then he gave us, after that, he gave us a secret of how to enter into that life. You're going to love this, I already know. I'm going to read the verse, begin the verse again. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Are you ready? And the fellowship, so far it's good, of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Abby's the only one with an honest face. She went, see, I like the part about knowing Him, don't you? I like the part about the power of His resurrection. I don't want to have the fellowship of His sufferings. I do not want to be made conformable unto His death. But I do want the power. This doesn't sound like a very good Easter message so far. God's will is for every one of us to have the resurrected life of Jesus in us. That's His will. However, what most Christians do not understand is that the way to resurrection is what? Death. That's what Paul's talking about. The way to resurrection is death. God wants us to have life, but it comes by death. Now, what does death mean? Death means separation. The way to live in the power of His resurrection, and think about the power of His resurrection. He is dead, 3 days dead, in a tomb, dead. The power of God, of the Holy Spirit, comes in the tomb. I mean, an earthquake comes, a stone is rolled away, not so He could get out, but so the disciples could get in. But this huge, massive rock is rolled away. This power is in there. And the only way that comes to bear is because Jesus separated from death. Separated from the curse. The way we live in that kind of power is separation. Separation from the things of the world. All right? There can be no resurrection apart from death. So we're going to talk about the death and resurrection of Jesus. And we're going to see if we can find how to live in the power of this resurrection. Is that okay? That's what I want. I want to live in that power. So let's start off. Well, we already started, but let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, we're going to read verse 39 and verse 42. Look what this says. It says, and He, talking about Jesus, went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Then in verse 42, and he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Now, here we go. We know that Jesus prayed this. This is that famous prayer he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Some people have interpreted this prayer to mean that Jesus didn't really know the will of God, and so he's saying, oh God, your will be done. They're thinking he doesn't know what is, but I want to tell you, nothing could be farther from the truth. Jesus knows the will of God. And though this place was a place of extreme agony for Jesus, we know he sweat drops of blood. Just the pressure that was upon him caused the blood to seep through his pores and run down his face. We know it was extreme agony, but it wasn't because he didn't know what to do. It wasn't because he didn't know the will of God. He had already stated that he came to die. He even told his disciples over and over how he was going to die and who was going to kill him. He wasn't trying to find the will of God. The agony isn't trying to find the will of God. Here's the agony. As the Son of God, Jesus was totally prepared. Jesus was ready. Jesus was not going to have any problem going through this thing. You know what the thing is? The thing is the crucifixion, the beating, the trials, all those things were getting ready to happen to him. Not only that, but the separation and going into the bowels of hell to suffer for all of us. He would, as the Son of God, he could do that. Remember, Jesus is all God, but he's also all man. It's the man, the Son of Man, that was struggling with this one. You mean Jesus would struggle? Well, yeah. That's why he's praying this prayer. He's saying, if we can do this a different way, let's do it. If the only way this is going to happen, by that I mean the redemption of all mankind, the resurrection for all people who will believe, if we can do this a different way, let's do it. But nevertheless, if I got to drink it, your will be done. I mean, Jesus absolutely, in this place, he's agonizing. His agony was based on the fact that the cost is very real to him. The price that's getting ready to be paid is, I mean, it's imminent. It's right before him. He knows that for you and me to be resurrected, to live with God forever, it's going to take his physical death. See, we sometimes forget that. We sometimes forget, we think, well, he's God, he can do it. He was man, the Son of Man. Some of you watched the movie the other night, The Passion of the Christ, and man, as a man, he was brutally tortured. And the movie was only about half of it. Maybe not even that much. The Scripture says in Isaiah that he was beaten beyond recognition as a human being. He was a bloody, bloody mess. He knew that was on the agenda. He knew that was what was coming. He recognized it. So he's in agony over that. He knows that unless he does that, there will never be an answer for the sin of all mankind. So he says, Lord, you know what? I'm going to do your will. Have you ever prayed this prayer? Lord, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do your will. And I'm going to do it for the joy set before me, because I know on the other side of your will is that promise that I'm waiting for. He said, I'm going to do your will. That's what he says. He knew his destiny. He knew he had to overcome his human instincts for survival. He had to overcome his human instincts that would say, to avoid pain and get out of this thing. He knew that, but he refused to do that. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus had to make a decision. He had to decide to go on. He had to decide to be resurrected. How could that happen? Because he had to die. He chose that. Because he was a Son of Man, we know he went through every human pain, everything that could happen to a man. His struggle wasn't not knowing the will of God. His struggle was his human flesh and its total surrender to the Father. Now, he had already been surrendered. Don't get me wrong. He'd never sinned, not one time. But here, this is the ultimate decision that he made. See, I mean, he knew that unless he surrendered to God's plan, then there would be no resurrection. And we've already read, if there's no resurrection, we're all sunk anyway. He had a word from God, but he had to do it God's way. Man, see, he surrendered. And I'm glad that he did, because now, because he died, we have access to God through his sacrifice. So, when we're talking about the power of the resurrection, we've got to come to the same place. No, we're not going to die. We've got to die to us. If I'm going to live in the power, I'm not talking about when Jesus died, was buried, was raised from the dead, and ascended to heaven. When I received the new birth, I received the power of the resurrection that will take me to heaven when I die. No problem with that one. And Christians have this idea that's the end of it. And then they live a life that sucks for the rest of their existence on the earth because they didn't surrender to Him. This is hard, I know, but it's good. Because you need the power. We want to live in this power of His resurrection. We want the Holy Ghost to explode around us and doors to open the way God intends for them to open, but it's going to take our choosing to surrender to Him. It's going to take our having to die. We understand. I'm referring this morning to the power of the resurrection as we live our lives until either we go to the grave or until the rapture comes. Amen. That's a good thing. All right? So, let's go back to Paul's statement here in Philippians 3:10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. The word conformable here means similar. Doesn't mean I have to physically die or be beaten by the Romans or be hung on a cross, but I have to, my life now has to be conformable to that. In other words, death precedes resurrection power. Surrender. We've got to die to some things before we can live in power. Isn't this good? We have this pie-in-the-sky mentality that I can live however I want to, and because Jesus is alive, I'm alive, and I can do what I want to do. And then at the rapture, I get to go be with Him. But why wait till the rapture? I'm not talking about physically going. I'm talking about living in His power now. It comes through the avenue of surrender. Listen to this. This is Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, I'm going to begin reading. I'm going to read several verses here, beginning in verse 1. But look what this says. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. The Apostle Paul says this, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" We've talked about that in the past. "God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Dead to sin. Dead. We're separated by His blood. We're separated because of what He did. All right? It says, "Know you not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." Now, this is an interesting passage of Scripture. Here's how the interpretation works for most people. Okay, when I got baptized, the preacher dunked me in the water, and when I came up out of that, I died, was buried, and rose again. That's what, and that's true, except this doesn't say baptism in water, does it? It actually says baptized in Christ. So who's doing that baptism, do you think? It's the Holy Spirit. This is talking about living a life of surrender to Jesus that I might walk. This isn't talking about heaven here, because it's talking about walking in newness of life. This is talking about the power of the resurrection here. It's not saying when you got baptized, now all of a sudden you have newness of life. No, you have newness of life when you get in Christ. When you're dripping with Jesus. When you die with Him. That's how you have this newness of life. Verse 5, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now listen to this next phrase. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Then why do we sin? Maybe we didn't die. There's another place the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. See, it's not like there's just one blanket. Okay, I got dunked in the water, I'm dead to sin. Really? I'll ask for a show of hands, but I won't. How many of you ever cussed after you got baptized? Yeah, see, we know. I thought you were dead to sin. Well, see, there's something more here. There's a power that's supposed to be at work in our lives. Verse 11 says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Here's talking about a decision. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. It's a choice. A choice to do what? It's a choice to die. It's a choice to surrender. It's a choice to daily give my life to Jesus. Just as He died, we've died. And we need to recognize we've been separated from the lust of sin because we've surrendered to Him. And this is what I know. The more I surrender, the less power the lust has. I wish I could tell you, if you'll just surrender to Him, you'll never be tempted again another day in your life. That'd be a lie. Oh, if you'll just come to Jesus, everything will be all right. That's a lie. It's not just coming. It's staying, walking, living, surrendering to Him. That's the power of the resurrection. It's living a Christian life that's for real. Paul said, and I'll just read this one to you, Romans 8:13, he said, if you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you will live. What does mortify mean? It means kill them. Put them to death. Crucify them. But Pastor, we wanted to hear a good message about Jesus coming out of the tomb today. That's what we're hearing. He came out of the tomb that we might have life. Not some goofy, I can do anything I want to and be rewarded by Jesus life, but a life that's surrendered to Him. A life that every day gets up and says, Lord, I live for You. Maybe you hate your job. Jesus hated the cross. Father, I refuse today to even ask myself if I want to go. Here's what I choose to do. I choose to say to You, sir, I surrender. I'm grateful that You gave me this job. I am grateful for the income that I have. I'm grateful that when they give me a check at the end of the week, that it's good, and I can take it and cash it right now. I'm grateful to You, Father. And I do not have to do anything but surrender to You, and I will give my very best today. Yeah, but Pastor, they don't recognize me. They're not the ones you're working for. You just said you work for Him. Let's go on. I can tell that went a long way. Colossians 3, verse 5. Isn't this good stuff? This is grown-up stuff. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth. Well, that's good. Kill them. Then it lists a couple of them. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, which means longing, evil longings, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which you also walked sometime when you lived in them, but now you also put off these. I'm going to add to the list here. Put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing you put off the old man and his deeds, and to put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Man, saying, you know what? Kill it. Kill it. That comes by surrendering daily. Daily. Some people, some of us, we got to surrender hourly. I mean, you know, the newer you are in the Lord, the more accustomed you are to the ways of the world. And it you got to die continually to it. I mean, you've got to die. You've got to surrender to Him. If you're in the habit of lying, you're going to have to die every time you open your mouth. And if you say a lie, you have to stop and say, I'm sorry, that wasn't true. You say that enough times and you'll quit lying. If you get mad often, you've got to die to it. You've got to deal with it daily, moment by moment. Jesus said this in Luke 9, 23. I like the way it says it. He said to them all, everybody, this is for everybody, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same will save it. And this is talking about daily surrender. Daily surrender. In our churches today, we're I don't think anybody's really preaching this, but we're making it seem like if you just get saved, that's all you got to do, and now you can do whatever you want to do, and everything will be cool. The Bible says this in Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. Man, that's how you get it. Living in the power of the resurrection then, just like it was Jesus' decision, is my decision. I decide daily to surrender if I want that power. Man, the day I was born again, I decided. I surrendered to Jesus. I mostly got saved when I was a little boy because I didn't want to go to hell. I mean, at our church, we never talked about surrender except right then. You had to surrender. You know, just as I am without one plea. And I probably went up there. Well, no, I went up there right when they started singing it because I knew what I wanted. But, you know, some people waited till the 15th verse of that song and got up there because they didn't want to go to hell. But there's more than that. There's a getting hell out of my life. There's a living for God. There's having what He wants us to have. We surrender. Let me read this. This is out of Romans chapter 6, verse 4. We read this a few minutes ago. Paul said, therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. This newness of life is filled with the glory of the Father, the power of God. For we have been planted together in the likeness of His resurrection. For in His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. It's not talking about heaven. It's talking about walking in this power. Walking in the power of the resurrection. Most often, the surrender of our will to His will involve a crossing of your will. You're reading the Bible. And it says that the tithe belongs to the Lord. Does that cross your will a little bit? Well, if you're not doing it, it does. But as you die to it daily, eventually you figure it out. And it's way better than it was. Walking in love, that's the hardest one of all, isn't it? If you don't believe me, just get on the loop here in a few minutes after we get through and start driving around. It's hard to walk in love on the loop or drive in love. Why? Because, yes? Okay. Okay. Uh-huh. Amen. Amen. So what does that mean then? Okay. That's what the Lord wants you to find out. But here's the key of that. He said, just like I said, just like he said. Everything that he does is just like he said. Just like he said. And if you remember that, you'll live in the power of that resurrection. That's what God wants you to know, is that as you surrender, see, what did they do? They saw him. They fell at his feet. They worshiped him. What they did was they surrendered. And now the power of the resurrection can come to them. And it wasn't enough just that it come to them. They had to take it to other people. And those people didn't believe him at first, did they? If you remember, if you read the story, they thought it was just like, they thought they were crazy when they got there. But they had to surrender. And they had to give it. That's very good. Thank you for sharing that. That's very good. That's the power of this resurrection, though. It's about dying to me and choosing his choice. It's my decision. I get to choose it. It's opposed to my will. I have to choose to walk in love, even when I want to catch that guy on the loop, get in front of him, and slam on my brakes. See, the ones who are smiling the biggest, you're the ones who are tempted just like me. And maybe the ones who've already done it. But I got to walk in love. That's what I'm supposed to do. Or when you're standing at the restaurant, the fast food place, and you've ordered this for the fifth time and it's still wrong. Walk in love. There are things more important than getting your Guadalajara right. So once we make that decision to surrender, here's the cool thing. He's already made the decision to empower us. The power is already there. He's already made his decision. Think about this. And I'll try to get finished here in a couple minutes. Think about the resurrection of Jesus. Just think about it for a moment. His resurrection is our gateway to life. It is the doorway. His resurrection means that he now has the power to convey his life to me every day as I surrender because he lives. When I was born again, I surrendered to his will to receive Jesus as the Lord, and the only person who could bring that power to me was Jesus himself because he's alive. He's resurrected. We are brought to his glory. See, we are not, none of us is the Son of God. But because of his resurrection, we are sons and daughters of God. We are brothers. I mean, we are brothers and sisters of Jesus, who's our elder brother. Our lives ought to always be advancing in this resurrection power. Always be advancing. The Amplified Bible says it this way in 1 John 3:2. Beloved, we are, even here and now, God's children. It is not yet disclosed, made clear, what we shall be hereafter. But we know that when he comes and is manifested, we shall, as God's children, resemble and be like him, for we shall see him just as he really is. In other words, we're changing this whole time in this power of his resurrection. And when we see him, we'll recognize him because we're looking like him. My dad has a brother who's older than him by several years. And I never thought my dad looked like his brother. But as they've grown older and older and older, they look almost exactly alike now. Because as they've matured, they've grown to be the same. As we mature in Jesus, in the power of His resurrection, through our surrender, we look more and more like Him. And then we become more and more His voice in a lost world. Instead of that voice that's condemning and pointing our fingers at them, we become a voice of resurrection power. And people will be drawn to that voice because all of a sudden we're looking more and more like Jesus. Well, Pastor, you're saying we'll be perfect? Yes, in this sense. The word perfect means mature. We will come to completion. We will finish what He put us here to do as we surrender to Him. Amen? We have His resurrection power. We live in the power of His resurrection. Let's pray. Father, this morning I thank You that Jesus is alive. I thank You, Father, for Your power in His resurrection. Father, here's what I declare. Jesus is alive. And because He lives, I live. Because He lives, every person in this room can live forever and have power today to please You and live a life with that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. I thank You, Father, that in our lives there are so many things, even though they're there to hinder us, the power of the resurrection breaks through them so that we're not held captive in a tomb of any kind. The tomb of past, the tomb of failure, the tomb of fear. Lord, I thank You this power of Your resurrection comes and bursts asunder the gates and the bars that try to hold us in. Father, I thank You for it. I praise You for it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.